Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Hello, John.
You know, I was walking over here and I was thinking to myself,
John Dorsey, podium A.
I believe this year is the 30th anniversary of the Combine being held in Indianapolis, Indiana. And so I'd like to take a moment here before I answer some football questions and just say, thank the city of Indianapolis for all the hospitality they've shown. And also want to acknowledge Jeff Foster and John Griffin from NIC and NFS. For all the work that they do to make this combine work. And with that, I'll take your questions.
John, were you here for all 30 of them?
Excuse me?
Have you been here for all 30 of them?
No. I've probably been here for 25.
John, without Andy Reid here, how has that changed the interactions with the players, the formal interviews, the informal interview process?
You know, we've been in this program now for 4 years, and we've built this thing. We understand from a personnel staff what the coaches want in specific players. And I think the coaching staff understands what we want, from a personnel side. And we've meshed together, and we understand each other, and we trust each other. I don't think the process has changed one bit. I miss having Andy here, and here's why. Because what's nice is when we sit down in the 60-player interview room, it's always nice to have him there because he does a nice job of just understanding players of what their worth is.
Was there any consideration to potentially do Skype or even FaceTime?
No, actually, what we've done in terms of the player interviews this year, what we've done is we've worked out a system where he'll be able to see the interviews. What we could have done is I wanted to see if we could do FaceTime him here, but I don't think he'd like that FaceTime thing.
Is it difficult now maybe to have cap space than it was before, just because it's harder for good players to make it to the market and almost force you to overpay?
Say that one more time, please.
Is it harder now to have a lot of cap space than it was in the past, just because it's so difficult for really good players to hit the open market?
No, I don't think it is. I think what it is if you plan out 3-4 years at a time here and you have an understanding of your team and the makeup of those specific players, no, I don't think it. To manage the gap, I don't believe that's true.
John, do you feel like the guy who would be your number two quarterback next season is on your roster right now?
I do. I know what you're getting with there. You're going with Chase Daniels. We've had Chase here for 2 years. I think Chase is a very competitive player. I think we were very lucky to have him as our number two quarterback. Just a couple hours ago, I've had discussions with his agent with regard to see where they were in the process. At the right price, I would try to retain him at the right price. And I understand the business of the game of football, and he's going to want to be able to see if he can start. I do believe he's capable of doing that. So that process will be ongoing. It'll take, a couple of weeks here before we sit down and talk with his agent some more.
In the past 3 years, how did you see Doug Peterson develop into a head coaching candidate?
Well, I think right now with Doug Peterson, he's been around football, the game of football, for a long time. Anytime you can take a coach and you develop your skills as a high school coach, then you work up the ranks and all of a sudden you're lucky enough to get into pro football. And I think it's always important that you who you get with in this whole process. And he was lucky enough to get with Andy Reid. And he began to see how to process and how to build certain things and how to build a team. The play calling component of it, I think Doug will do a fabulous job. And what I've seen with Doug is he's built a really good staff. So, I love Doug. I can't wait to see what he does. I really think he'll do a wonderful job.
John, when you talk about the development of Albert Wilson and what role he's kind of carved out for himself,
well, anytime you can take a college free agent and he can develop into that number two receiver, which he kind of did last year, that's a tribute to Albert and that his development is, and with that development, I can see him getting better, but he wants to get himself better. And, I'm very happy where he is at this stage of football. He did very well in the 15 season. Now we're moving on to the 16 season, and it's time to develop even more now.
John, going back to the business side of football, last month you had mentioned to us about the franchise tag. You were still in that process of trying to figure that out. Where are you now in that process, especially with the deadline coming up next week?
No, exactly. I think the deadline's next Tuesday, probably 3 p.m. Central Time. as we move forward here, you know, I've used the franchise tag in the past, and it's not out of the possibility I could use it again. You know, it all depends on how certain things go in the process, but, you know, you always want to have something in your pocket, and I can use that.
Next question, as a follow-up to that, is what about Eric Berry? Where are you in the process of talking with his representatives on that?
You know what, Eric's agent and I have had really good discussions the last couple of weeks. We will continue to build on those discussions as we speak. I'm scheduled to meet with him this weekend in Indianapolis. And so, you know, it's a process. It will move. It continually move on. And we'll see what happens when we get to that time.
With how quickly Mitch Morse was able to step in and play for you guys, coming from being a tackle and a spread offense in college, playing center for you, do you feel like the transition for spread offensive linemen is a little bit overblown, or do you think he's more of an exception than indicator of what other guys can do?
Well, in today's football, the spread option game it's everywhere. It's from the pro football all the way down to Pop Warner League now, I've seen. I think that attribute first goes to Mitch himself as a person for his athleticism, his smarts, his tenacity. It also goes to the Missouri coaching staff for getting him prepared to play at the next level, and they've done a wonderful job in getting players ready to play. And then all of a sudden, Mitch comes here. He picks things up quickly. He has quality coaches like Andy Heck and Eugene Chung, and it was a seamless transition. He did a wonderful job, and I continue to see good things for him. Say that one more time, BJ.
Now that you've had a chance to go and watch the players and scout these guys, just what's unique about this draft and where are you guys at in building your draft?
Well, the guys jokingly say, well, we're in phase one. What we've done is we've kind of finished our process, our self-evaluation. We've kind of, you know, finished up the unrestricted free agent part of the process, and now we've spent the last 17 days evaluating and building our college draft board. It's very fluid. It will continue because it's just not one set board. It's, you know, we're 50-some days probably away from the draft. So it will continually change and evolve as, you know, we watch guys compete here at the Combine. We go to the school visits and we watch them compete. And we begin to formulate, you know, that final piece of the puzzle. Right now, from a depth perspective, I think there's some really good defensive linemen in this draft.
John, can you give us an update on Jamal Charles' rehab and also the emergence of Ware and West, what this backfield shapes up like for next year?
Yeah, you know what? It's, I told you all a couple weeks ago, Jamal is ahead of schedule. He is ahead of schedule. I've continually talked to Rick. Before I left to come here to Indianapolis, I saw Jamal down there diligently working in the training room, and all of a sudden I come back downstairs and he's in the weight room. And I think he's far enough ahead in the process here, which is good. It's good for everybody. Jamal is, you know, he's a great football player. But, you know, you have to applaud those two young guys for what they did. When you lose a player the magnitude of Jamal and those two young guys step up and what they did, you know, they competed and they played hard. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was good for everybody.
John, when you're looking at small school guys, just in a general sense, small school players, and you're trying to bridge the gap between maybe scheme issues and strength of control and what you need in players, how do you go about that in the position just in the
sense? Well, I would think from a Division I standpoint, there's probably 82-83% of the players in the National Football League come from Division I. Then you begin to filter down. 1AA, you have to take each level as it goes down. But as I've always said, is how do they dominate the competition? At those different levels, do they dominate the competition? And do they have the measurables and the traits that you're looking for in an organization? I can't pinpoint one. You know, I've known in the past, in studying the trends here, in the past, there could be some receivers, some defensive backs, and I've also seen some defensive linemen that have kind of risen up and prospered, you know, into the National Football League.
John, the Redskins are going to release Robert Griffin III. They've already said that. When I talk to some people, they feel like coach like Andy Reid would be a good fit for him. Why do you think people would say that? What is it about Andy as a coach that might make him a good fit for a guy with multi-skills like that?
Andy's a wonderful coach. He just has a way of working with young men, and young men believe in him. Now, with regards to the player you talk about, I'm really not obligated to talk about him because he's still with another football team. But I think with Andy, what he does, he teaches them the basic fundamentals. he'll see the flaws within that person, try to break them down and build them back up. Okay, and then all of a sudden he begins to sit there and grill them on the X and O's of the game until it's embedded within their head.
More so than other coaches he's been around?
You know what? I can only speak for Andy. I've been around. I mean, that's who I'm talking about.
John, what you've tried to do going into the draft since you've been here is kind of build your roster to where there's no glaring immediate needs, so you're kind of free to do whatever you really like in the draft that way. You think that's going to be a realistic goal for you this year?
Stanford tight end Austin Hooper, podium C. Stanford tight end Austin Hooper, podium C.
Say it one more time, please. Sorry.
No, you've done a good job since you've been here about building your roster to where there's no immediate glaring needs for the Chiefs going into the draft. You feel like that's going to be a realistic goal this year? You'll be able to achieve that if that's something you decide you want to do?
You know, Adam, we take the same approach year in and year out. We try to build that up every year. And then you begin to see the holes that you need to fill in there. And then all of a sudden you have to factor that formula into the best available player approach as well. And I foresee this year not being any different from all the years that I've been doing this.
A couple more.
John, what have you seen from Matt Nagy to kind of make him like a co-offensive coordinator?
Well, you know what? I think we are very lucky to have Matt Nagy in that role. And then all of a sudden you have Brad Childress in that role. Now what you have is you have a young and upcoming coach blended in there with a former head coach who also is an offensive coach. He knows the system. He has a great relationship with Alex Smith, and he will continue to have a great relationship with Alex Smith. And that does nothing but, one, show you that the system that Andy has in place allowing guys to grow and build and develop. But it also speaks volumes for the quality of coaching staff that we have here in Kansas City.
Are there any updates on Derek Johnson's status, by any chance?
In terms of? Well, truth be told, I had a meeting with his representative about 3 weeks ago. Three days ago. And we will continue to have continual process with that. We're going to move this thing forward. Anytime you become the all-time leading tackler for the Chiefs, we're not going to let good football players go in this thing.